She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we are going to ask you to think about something that impacts the lives of every single one of us, clean air. Honestly, I don't think there could be a topic that I've covered that's more important, because it is something that we all have in common. It may sound so obvious, but we often ignore that which is the most obvious. Every breath we take impacts our health. So let me first mention that our show today is made possible due to the generous support of the Habitat for Humanity, Building Homes, Community, and Hope. Their goal is to build safe, decent, affordable, quality houses for people in need. We really do thank them for their support and for all they do to make our community and our planet stronger and more sustainable. Thank you, Habitat for Humanity, and in particular, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. So the name of our show today is Mom's Clean Air Force. And I rarely do this, but I'm asking all of you listeners, the thousands of you that listen to these podcasts each week, to stop what you're doing and sit down and close your eyes and soak in every word of this show, because it is that important. Joining me for this hour is Dominique Browning. She is the co-founder, senior director, and a major force driving the message of Mom's Clean Air Force around the country. Dominique and her team are leading thousands of moms and dads, literally an air force, fighting for our kids' health and their right to clean air. So welcome, Dominique, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I usually say, and let's have some fun, but with this topic, let's figure out how to have some fun anyway. But let's start with, I'm always curious about my guest's journey. And I'd love for you to share with us a bit about your background and what was happening in your life that led you to where you are now, leading the charge for clean air for our kids. A pretty big yes.
Not exactly where I thought my life would be at this time.
But funny how that works.
Funny how that works, and funny how we have to remind ourselves to be open to all of life's possibilities. Some of them turn out to be better than we expected. So my background is as a magazine journalist, and I lost my job as the editor of House and Garden many years ago, about eight years ago, and started an online life where I also began to read deeply about climate change, which happens to be one of the main things that keep me up at night. And as I was online exploring what people are saying about clean air and where our climate is going, I realized that nobody was talking to people like me, people who are not scientists. I'm not even really an environmentalist in the sense of as a profession. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an economist. But I'm a person who really loves and adores my children, cares about this earth, and wants to know that I'm leaving the world a better place than when I came in. And I realized that I was being left out of the conversation about clean air and climate pollution, what we can do about it. And that was kind of the birth of the idea for Mom's Clean Air Force. How do we rally hundreds of thousands, millions of women, parents, mothers, aunts, grandmothers who want to make the world a better place but don't really know how to come into the conversation? And that's what we try to do with Mom's Clean Air Force.
And you know, I think that you should bring up, because you are such a, not a complex carbohydrate, but a very intricate tapestry of talents and commitments and passion. And I would love for you to share this. I did not know this was going to come up, but it really touched my heart. In your spare time, you wrote a book about slow love. And for my walk in my life, that's very important. Do you mind talking a little bit about that? Because I think it's really relevant to what you're doing.
I don't mind talking about it at all. And by the way, I've never been called a complex carbohydrate, but I love that.
I am the master.
And I probably am what I eat.
You are a complex carbohydrate. It's like there are many facets to this amazing woman that's making a difference for all of us.
So funny. Well, actually, Slow Love was an incredibly important part of the journey to Mom's Clean Air Force. So after I lost my job and fell out of an important relationship in my life and my children left home, it was just really one of those major life moments of everything changing and some of it leaving me extraordinarily sad. I kind of went to ground, literally. I went up to a house I have on the coast of Rhode Island and stared at the ocean and gardened and said yes to every writing assignment that came my way and tried to figure out what on earth I was going to do next. I went around to a lot of these environmental not-for-profit organizations to ask for work, since I obviously have communication skills, and nobody would give me a job because everybody said, well, you don't know anything about non-profit work, which of course I didn't. I was always in the hopefully for-profit world. So I really felt blocked, and the magazine business was falling apart at the same time. And Slow Love grew out of that. I began to realize how extraordinarily healing it was to just spend a few moments every single day stopping what I was doing and just gazing on something miraculous and wonderful about the world in which we live, and falling in love with the world again, falling in love with life again, and realizing that it wasn't about slowing down the pace of my life, but it was slowing myself down, my mind, my heart down enough to really feel love every single day. I began doing things like helping elderly people cross the street, holding their hands and walking for the two stoplight changes across the street with them. And that would be my slow love moment. Or gazing at the side of a tree, at a fungus that was growing that was extraordinarily beautiful. And training myself to do that, because we go through so many days without really stopping to think how incredibly lucky we are to be here.
And you know, what struck me and why I brought it up is because the world is so, in many places, very ugly right now. And I do have a little bit of emotion in my voice, which is like the third time in 9 years, but it's a very painful time if you are a consciously living being to see all the hatred that's out there. And what it said on the page that I turned to on your website, DominicBrowning.com, is that slow love means engaging with the world in a considered, compassionate way, appreciating the miraculous beauty of everyday moments and celebrating the interconnected nature of life. And it's, to me, that message needs to be stated many times by many people over and over every day, because we are not doing that. We are arming ourselves with hatred. And so thank you for that inspiration for me that I obviously needed, because I got teared up on the show.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's funny, I talk a lot about how mother love has to be stronger than pollution. It must be. We love must win the day.
So perfect. So, and I am going to order a copy of the book, because it spoke to me and it's something I need right now. I'm looking for every kind of outside staff to put on this heart right now, because it's pretty awful. So let's talk about all the good things that you're doing. I'd love to know about how Mom's Clean Air Force came to be about in the first place, and what inspired the movement so strongly that a huge giant in the champion of our world, Environmental Defense Fund, created it as a special project. Do tell.
Well, as I said, it was something I began to think a lot about, and I began having conversations with a friend of mine who was on the board of Environmental Defense Fund, and our circle of conversation about what can we do, how can we reach regular people and help people understand why they need to care about these issues. Those conversations broadened. The idea was hatched, and so in fact it was several mothers who were donors and members of the EDF board who really understood this idea and saw that it had potential and who made it happen. So from the very get-go, we are about mom power, women power, because I don't think any organization would have turned around and said, you do this. Instead, we went to them and said, we want to do this. And specifically, I said, you cannot stop me. I have to do this. I really do lie awake at night worrying about climate change and thinking about, as you say, the things we are doing to our world that we can stop, you know, that don't have to happen. So I'm very determined to have us all make a difference. So EDF gave us funding. We are about to turn 5 years old. And in the 5 years, we've launched a website full of informative and, I think, very accessible information about all kinds of clean air issues.
Unbelievable.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Unbelievable website. And we're going to talk about it several times. But for people that are listening that want to look at some of it, momscleanairforce.org, it is just a content-rich, easy-to-navigate, outstanding website. So go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the way it really dropped for me was that as we were starting, by coincidence, there was a huge fight going on that had been going on for 25 years about mercury in our air. And, you would think we wouldn't have to be arguing about a terrible neurotoxin in our air. I remember when I was pregnant being told not to eat tuna because it had too much mercury. But I never knew until 5 years ago that mercury got into our food because of air pollution. It comes from coal-fired power plants. So that was a real wake-up call for me about, hey, how come nobody connected the dots? And we jumped into that fight really actively because mercury is such a potent neurotoxin, and it's especially dangerous to fetuses and young babies whose brains are developing. Mercury happens to be attracted to fat, and the fatty tissue in a baby is in the brain. So you cannot believe that anybody would want to argue for the right to put mercury in our air, but that is what is going on. For 40 years after the Clean Air Act, we are still fighting for mercury.
And let's bring some numbers up. So 1 in 10 American women of childbearing age, and this is right from your website, have potentially dangerous levels of mercury in their bodies. 1 in 10. So that's what, mm-hmm. about 500,000 kids are exposed in the womb? It starts there.
It's bad.
Oh, I'm like you. It's like, how can it's we
bad.
Be having this conversation 40 years later? Oh.
Yeah. Well, we're having this conversation because there are political forces at work that want no regulations at all. And the irony of this, of course, is that it was a Republican president who signed the Clean Air Act. Richard Nixon, it was a Republican president who strengthened the Clean Air Act 20 years ago, Bush, the first Bush. And suddenly, in the last 10 or 15 years, things like air pollution have become violently divisive issues instead of issues that united us.
It's our air, people. Press pause. Hashtag our air. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Go on. Yes. Yeah, so who we're fighting, do they really want to gut the Clean Air Act? And do they really want to dismantle the EPA? Like,
yes,
I read that. I'm like,
sorry. You listen to what is going on in a lot of the debates, and that's what we're talking about. Gutting the Clean Air Act and dismantling EPA, dismantling protections for our children's health, for all of our health. It's disgraceful. It is disgraceful that it has come to this.
It is really, it's way beyond disgraceful. It's incredulous to me. I was reading this for hours and I'm saying, this can't be true because they're breathing the same air. So it's, yeah, it's okay. Now who, go ahead.
I think we are fighting a lot of corporate polluters. I think we're fighting a lot of people who feel regulations are hampering their profits. And, you know, of course, the answer isn't only regulation. There's a lot of really exciting new technology stuff going on in the energy world, in the car world. There are a lot of positive things that we can be rallying for in cleaning up our air.
And getting excited about it. But, and the good thing is I found lots of good news on the website at all, as well. There are people that are joining with you to fight the good fight. Can you mention some of those? Because they are some of the most respected organizations in the world from where I sit.
We've had a lot of I don't have the website open with me now, but we do have a lot of partners. We especially like to work with partners in the health field. So we find ourselves often turning to the American Lung Association, for instance, because they have all of the information on how air pollution harms our lungs and little lungs. True with asthma associations as well.
And the AMA,
and
the American Heart Association. I mean, all of the groups that you have listed there, American Nurses Association, American Academy of Pediatricians, these people are seeing the impact. They're literally on the line, on the front lines, watching what's happening to compromised children's health. And I'm, you know, it gives me hope that if enough of the organizations rally, I mean, one of the happiest things that happened to me in the past month is we defeated the DARC Act. It's like when I got those bulletins, I'm like, you're kidding. We actually won one? It's like so
Oh, you know, we've won a lot. I mean, I'm in one of those places too now where the news just seems unremittingly bleak. But if you step back and look at where we are now compared to where we were 5 years ago, a lot of amazing things have happened. Many, many, many millions more people understand that climate change is a problem and that it needs to be addressed. The poll numbers on Americans wanting clean air are astronomical. They're fabulous. People consider clean air to be a right. You look at our air compared to the air in China and India, and you see how the Clean Air Act has been so successful, even while the American economy has grown over 40 years. So there's a lot going on that shows that we can make change. President Obama put forward America's Clean Power Plan, which is the first huge national effort to cut carbon pollution. Administrator Gina McCarthy, EPA Administrator McCarthy, is releasing methane rules to cut pollution from natural gas. So there are a lot of great things happening. And what we need to do now is make sure that the rock doesn't roll back down the hill.
Right, because there are people that want to be pushing it back down the hill. And it's so important. And, you know, it's always, if it's not about the money, it's about the money. Because if all of these corporations and lobbyists who are for pollution, basically, that's what you can say, I'm for air pollution, they'll make more money. Their profit margins will be better. Their return on investments will be better. They won't have to clean up after themselves. It's just a pretty big, powerful statement about what's motivating them. So we have, there's many aspects of issues that you're focusing on. I don't think we'll have time to cover all of them, but a hot topic for me, because I was in social services and saw impacts of physical health on mental health, is asthma. People need to understand why so many kids have asthma. Can you talk about that as an issue and why it's such an area of focus for you?
We are in an epidemic of asthma. Asthma rates are skyrocketing across the country. And you and I were talking a little earlier about social justice. Of course, it is the poor communities who live near highways,
right,
who live near factories, who don't get good health care, who are suffering the worst effects of it. But I don't think there's a child today who doesn't know somebody with an inhaler. It's really bad. So obviously something's going on with the air. A lot of the pollution that has been cleaned up was the visible pollution. You know, we all remember those clouds of haze hanging over Los Angeles and New York City. A lot of what's going on now is pollution that you can't see, but it still has an impact. So, for instance, if you go to communities near natural gas development, near well pads, you find, even though you can't see methane leaking, you find people having enormous health issues, including asthma issues.
All right. We are going to take a short break. Everybody stay here with me. More from Dominique Browning from Mom Cleans Air Force. We're going to talk more a little bit about asthma, clean energy, how climate disruption is impacting our health. Stay here with me. Lots of great information to come. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmerglass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. And now, more with Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. Just another quick shout out to Habitat for Humanity, Building Homes, Community, and Hope. We thank them for their support of the Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. The name of our show today is Moms Clean Air Force. Joining me for this hour is Dominique Browning, the co-founder, senior director, and a major force driving the message of Moms Clean Air Force around the country. And the message is about clean air. We have a right to breathe clean air. We are greatly at risk. Our children are at risk. And a little bit more about Moms Clean Air Force. It's a community of moms and dads united against air pollution, including the urgent crisis of our changing climate, which we're going to talk about, to protect our children's health. They are members with reliable information and solutions through a myriad of great resources, articles, action tools, and on-the-ground events. We should all be blessed that we know about them and that they're here, and they are a special project of the Environmental Defense Fund. So, Dominique, is there a little bit more that you want to say about asthma? Because you are right. It's everywhere, and kids are getting sicker, so it's up front, close and personal to many moms and dads and people that are living consciously. So is there any other final info about asthma?
Just in general about asthma, it's really important for people to educate themselves as to what the triggers might be, and of course they are, other than air pollution, all kinds of things. And we have a nice ebook on our website about asthma triggers, as well as one about what to do when your child with asthma goes off to college, and what they need to know about living in college dorms. But in general, I would say the asthma issue, like so many health issues, everything is so interconnected, isn't it?
Right.
You know,
we
have tens of thousands of chemicals on the market that have never been tested, except on us every day, in our objects, in the stuff we're slathering on our bodies. So we're trying to get toxic chemical reform passed, but that has been a long, long fight and is still going on. So, you know, as we pointed out earlier, we still have corporations fighting against air quality rules because they want to protect their right to pollute, which they see as a right. So, you know, our job is nowhere near done. There's still a lot of work to do.
And you mentioned it. It's on stuff we put on our bodies. It's in so many of our cleaning, you know, the ingredients of things that we clean our house with. There's formaldehyde that off-gasses from furniture. I mean, we're getting assaulted from many levels. To me, the great common thread here is we all breathe. We all breathe air. So let's be a little bit more conscious about just what we're taking into our bodies. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the Clean Air Act and why this is so important and such a focus for Moms Clean Air Force.
Sure. The Clean Air Act is something that everybody in our generation has grown up with. You know, it's been in effect for 40 years, and it has been remarkably effective. You know, don't forget, there were days when we were watching on our large, old, clunky TV sets the Cuyahoga River bursting into flames because there was so much pollution everywhere, right?
Yes.
So the Clean Air Act is just a great example of how a regulatory framework can make our lives better. It's just plain and simple. It is about protecting us. There are some things that government does really well, and that is one of them. Is it infallible? No. Do people from the EPA make mistakes? Yes. Are there there are problems. But basically, you know, as you say, we're all in this together, and so we need rules that protect us all together. We can't rely on states to do this because you might be polluting in Ohio, and it's the people in Pennsylvania who are breathing it. So the Clean Air Act was visionary, it was bold, it is flexible, it is open to interpretation, and indeed the Supreme Court has ruled that the Clean Air Act should and must cover climate pollution issues, greenhouse gases. So, you know, the Clean Air Act continues to evolve as technology evolves and as our problems evolve. So it's a hallmark of American democracy. We all have to understand, we take it for granted, and I never really understood a thing about it until I got into this, but I can promise you that parents in China and India wish they had a Clean Air Act instead of seeing their children become severely ill because of the air pollution
and
they are living with.
Such a timely topic, because we saw Beijing closed for business, for schools. People were warned to not go out. I mean, you see what can happen if this is put in any way at risk in our country. At least we have this. And to me, the reasonableness of it is really clear, because it attacks six major air pollutants, which none of us want to breathe, like lead and sulfur dioxide. Don't want to be taking that in anytime soon. And then two other, you know, limits the 200 other hazardous air pollutants, and one of them is mercury. So we don't want to be, you know, breathing mercury or asbestos. I mean, these are things that the general public are aware of. Those are dangerous things to have in our body. So let's heighten our awareness about that one. What about the America's Clean Power Plan? What can you tell us about this, and why does it matter so much that people become educated about it?
Yeah, okay, well, so America's Clean Power Plan is yet another iteration on the Clean Air Act. In other words, what we now understand about climate change is that these heat-trapping gases are being emitted into the air, like carbon and methane, and it's like being in a car with the windows up. You know, the heat comes in and it doesn't from the sun, and it doesn't go out, and that's what's happening to our globe. And so therefore we need to regulate and cut down how much carbon we're emitting and how much methane we're emitting. And these things are large and complicated problems, so they've been split apart. Carbon is one pollutant, methane as another. And what's happening under the Clean Power Plan is that each state has been called to develop a power plan for how they generate electricity that will emit less carbon. And this is really a win-win all around, because it's also a way to bring in, the energy of the future that is actually here now, solar energy and wind energy. So the states come up with plans that work for their states, for their citizens, for their locations, with a shared goal to cut carbon. And it's that simple. And of course, it's extraordinarily complicated in the details, but it is at least a way for the EPA to create a framework for us to bring down climate pollution.
And a lot of the power companies, including Tucson Electric Power Company, are saying that they can meet the emissions goals of this clean power plan. Governors are saying it. State officials are saying it. So what's the fight? Is it the people that don't want, that are saying we don't need the Clean Air Act and we don't need a clean power plan?
Yes, that's exactly the problem. EPA is not radical at all. It is a fairly conservative
at all. I agree
in terms of its values, right? They're not out there saying ban fossil fuels. They're very pragmatically oriented. They're very much oriented to the now. So the plan does not ask anybody to do anything very radical. And most governors are saying that they are with it, but there are a group of governors who are being funded by the network of money coming out from the Koch family, who just do not want any regulations at all. They just don't want to do it. They're
against it. Of course they don't.
You know, that's what you're seeing across the board. Just how do you snarl up government? How do you keep regulations from moving forward? In fact, how do you even kill the solar industry? Because they want to keep their coal-based electricity. So, you know, you've got this incredibly weird spectacle of people fighting against new technology. It's as if you had people saying, we don't want the internet, we're going to fight it.
Right, right. And the future of renewables, which we can all count on and which ultimately benefit all of us in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And I think if we knew the millions, the hundreds of millions of dollars being put out there to fight this, I always think about what would happen if some of that money was put to really good causes like the development of solar and increased application. It just goes on. So let's talk about how this, another issue that I thought was so wonderfully incorporated into your mission and your vision, tie what's happening with our atmosphere getting warmer and our weather more extreme into how does that impact children's health? Why will children suffer the most?
Well, that's the heart of what we're doing. And a warmer world, for the most part, is not a healthier world. You're starting to see it in the way that diseases that were once tropical are now having a much greater range. The insects that carry them can live through milder winters, and so they can spread further into the country. Obviously, things like flooding and storm disasters, which are intensifying, leave behind homes that are wrecked or not wrecked but full of mold and mildew, and that impacts children's health. Warmer days create more smog and more ground level ozone, and that also leads to asthma issues as well as heart issues. And it's not just children who are the most vulnerable. It's also the elderly.
Right.
So important to keep in mind. It's a cross-section. So basically what we're doing is disrupting what was a stable climate for 10,000 years under which human civilization flourished. We're really pushing the envelope. We're disrupting it. And it is, it's going to impact us just every step of the way.
And our children, that's what got me so emotional. People, it's our children. It's going to increase hospital emissions, which then taxes our healthcare systems more. Low birth weight. There are all kinds of really serious complications when kids are born with a low birth weight. Premature birth. Mm-hmm. All of those things. And autism. I mean, autism people, every other child is, it seems like it's one in three. The projections are, some of them are, one in three children will be affected with autism or something on the autism scale.
We work with a wonderful woman named Heidi Cullen, Dr. Heidi Cullen, who's a meteorologist and a climate scientist. And she started climate coverage at Weather Channel. And she talks to us about how climate is kind of the envelope in which weather is happening, and how the wet get wetter and the dry get drier. So that's why you're seeing increased flooding in some parts of the country and increased drought in other parts of the country. You'd think that they were contradictory, but they're not. We're pushing things to extremes that are not healthy. You know, you'll hear people say, oh, well, the climate has always been changing. But the answer to that is, yeah, and there were no human beings around to experience it because we cannot live in climate extremes that happen when the climate changes. So that's the part they always leave out. We have flourished in a stable climate, and we are disrupting that stability. That's why we have to stop the climate pollution.
And sometimes I'm really nice about it when people bring that up, and other times I simply say, well, could you just give me just a little bit of insight as to when those periods in histories had 8-9 billion people on the planet? Can you just, like, give me some insight? Did I miss a chapter in history? Because the connection to all of this, the massive amounts of people that we have on the planet and what we're doing to feed them, provide energy, food, all of that. I mean, it's a really scary conversation. I don't know why people don't get it.
I know why people don't get it. There has been a massive disinformation campaign in this world over the last decade, actually over 20 years, to discredit scientists, to discredit scientific understanding, and to confuse the public. And we have people from that side of the fence, the people who have been running this disinformation campaign, say all we need to do is sow confusion. And they're right. People are confused. So I don't even nicely ask the kind of questions you ask anymore. I basically say, no, not true. The climate has not been changing while we were on Earth. No, not true. We cannot live in a wildly disruptive climate situation.
And it's taking
a stand.
And
people talk about, well, okay, the climate is changing, but we don't know how much of it human beings have contributed to. And then I say, no, not true. In fact, carbon molecules have a chemical fingerprint. And scientists can tell you what carbon is up there naturally and which is up there as a result of human activity. So, in fact, all of this is measured. You know, we wonder why kids aren't taking science and we don't care about it. Look at the way we are disrespecting scientists.
Look at the way we're disrespecting scientists and our president and anybody that comes out and has a strong voice about the impact of climate change. I mean, to me, it's incredulous to me because this is science. It's science. It's not people's opinion. The facts are there.
Right.
The science supports it. It is not a political issue. Mother Earth doesn't care how you vote. It's happening, and it's measurable. It's science. Some of these scientists I've had on my show, and I know I sound like I'm on a rant, and I am, say they report the facts. That's what scientists do. They do the research, they report the facts, and here they are. This is how death rates are increasing. This is what we're finding about mercury. This is what's happening to our, you know, this is what the measurements are for greenhouse gas emissions. They're not on political tirades. They're trying to report what they're learning and say to everybody, let's talk about this. Let's change it. It's in all of our best interests. So I'm like you, we are extremely disrespectful.
And, you know, let's just be very clear. This is happening. This disinformation campaign is happening because of a handful of extremely wealthy corporate polluters who want to maximize their profits at our expense. That's all it is.
And we can't forget that. So you call it the misinformation campaign. Sounds like a great hashtag, because it's just, we're basically, what that translates to is we're being lied to left and right. And the other part that annoys me and just makes me crazy, they make it about fear. There's an underpinning of fear about our rights being taken away, about too much government interference, whatever garbage they can throw in there. People hear that soundbite and they start questioning.
There's a really remarkable book that I've just been reading by Jane Mayer called Dark Money that outlines this entire campaign over the last 30 years. I highly recommend it for anybody who wants to understand in detail how we've gotten to where we have come.
And I wrote it down.
But again, you know, I think we can fight this, we can shed light, and we can make progress, but we have to be more vigilant than ever because we're watching a presidential campaign in which all the candidates on one side of the aisle are talking about gutting the Clean Air Act and getting rid of the Environmental Protection Agency. So there's a lot at stake right now.
Just get rid of the EPA, which you say is an extremely, to me, moderate to conservative organization that we really don't need to mess with. And indeed, I would certainly make the case for strengthening it. We're going to another break, so I'm getting the signal here. And when we come back, I would love to talk a little bit more about your particular focus. We can say a little bit more about coal. It is 40% of our energy, you know, our electricity. And then I'd love to talk about the resources that people can find who connect with Moms Green Air Force and talk a little bit about what people can do. Everybody, stay here with me. You won't want to miss a minute. Dominique Browning from Moms Clean Air Force. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's World's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to, and hopefully you share my opinion that some of the topics being discussed today by Dominique Browning, our guest from Moms Clean Air Force, are among the most important things we need to hold front and center, be paying attention to, and figuring out what we can do as citizens to protect our children's right to clean air. And I just want to say, I know I sound so passionate. I'm thrilled that I do. It's a right, and we need to protect it. We need to protect our children. So let's get on with that. And Dominique, thanks so much for showing up on the planet and for being such a spokesperson for all of us.
Well, thank you.
You've got a big job there.
I'm about to have my first grandchild in April. And I must tell you, nothing focuses the mind like thinking about how life moves on, right?
Yes.
New generation coming in. I don't want to think about the chaos that we might be thrown into as a civilization if we don't control our pollution. And I think when anybody stops to think about things like that, you know, nobody wants to leave the world in worse shape. So the question is, what can you do? I was thinking about what you asked about before the break. You know, I think for too many years, we were sold on the idea that we could, if we all like drove the right car and didn't use our clothes dryers, everything would be okay.
Right.
It is important.
Life was that simple then.
Life is that simple, right. I mean, it is important for all of us to live mindfully. You know, what my grandmother would have referred to as not wasting precious resources.
Right.
All of these things matter. But what we need is a global system change. And that puts me back in mind of basically old-fashioned habits of citizenship. What matters now more than ever is that everybody let their political representatives know they care about clean air, they care about climate change, they want to see something done about it. And, you know, every citizen doesn't have to know the right answer. Nobody really knows the right answer. There's going to be new technology. There'll be new inventions. There'll be things that we've never heard of. But we already have a lot of the tools we need to fix the problem. We just need the national will. And the national will comes from you and me and everyone we know saying this is how we want the world to be. This is the world we want to live in. We want to create that world, that new world that is a cleaner world.
And to me, you will go into some of them. Sometimes it can be overwhelming and daunting. What you're talking about and what I advocate for every day is just do something. Find a cause that you believe in. Find a petition that you can sign. Write to your congressman. All of these are not overwhelming, that take days of work. Every day you can find a little bit of a way to let your voice be heard. And in the days to come, it's going to be increasingly more important. And I did bring up the DARK Act. Some people might know what that it was, which is hard for me to believe because it really was all over the news. But it was going to ban states. This is the one that I just loved. It was denying people the right to know, that's why we called it the DARK Act, denying Americans the right to know, from requiring labeling, GMO labeling. And you talk about the lies and the reality of what it would mean versus what people said. They don't have the money, companies are going to go bankrupt, all the big ag people are going to go, you know, they're laughing all the way to the bank about it. But what you're advocating for, people can do small, simple things that collectively will make a big difference.
And they will make a big difference. But I'm talking about things that are what it takes to be a citizen in a democracy. People all over the world are fighting for the right to have a democracy. We have one, so now let's put it to work for us. I can't overstate it. A handwritten postcard to your senator saying, I've been reading about climate change, I've been learning about climate change, I want you to do something to cut our climate pollution. That makes a huge difference. Signing petitions does matter. That's the easiest thing you can do. But a phone call, these people work for us. We elect them and they work for us. And we've forgotten that. And they might have forgotten it too, because we're not demanding things. Being engaged really, really makes a difference. Right now, the single most important thing anybody who cares about all the issues you raise on your show, the most important thing anybody can do is register to vote and make sure they go to the polls to vote for people who protect clean air.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who protect children's health, right?
And sometimes people aren't even talking about it. I'm trying to write this down so that I can remember all the things to give my social media coordinator. But yes, it's as simple as registering to vote. The most powerful tool that we have as citizens in this United States. It truly is. Mm-hmm. So those are, you're mm-hmm. right, as good stewards of our planet, registering to vote is an essential component to that, with things at risk as they are. And I don't want time. So go ahead, add to that.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we are never going to be able to match the dollars that corporate polluters are spending on our elections. Up to $900 million was the last number that was announced. But what we do have is a lot of love, and we have to put that love to work.
And the numbers that you have of engaged people, it's getting up. I know I'm rounding up a little bit, but you're at 650,000 or something like that. We're talking about an army of people, or an air force of people. I shouldn't say an army, but the numbers, when you're getting up to a million strong, which will happen, it is affirming to me that there are parents, moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers that are saying, I really care. I want to be a part of this. Now, what about, we have to talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, we have to talk about natural gas, because a lot of these plans are saying there's the answer. So can you speak to that a little bit?
natural gas can be safer as a fuel
yes.
than it is now. It is never going to be non-polluting like solar energy or wind energy, but it definitely can be cleaner than coal. Only if it is properly regulated. Right now, from the moment the drill goes into the ground to the moment it gets into your house, there are leaks happening across the entire spectrum of oil and gas development. And that is a very bad and very dangerous thing, because methane, which is the primary component of natural gas, is an extremely strong greenhouse gas. It's an extremely strong climate change forcer. So, we've been in a surge of natural gas development because of fracking techniques, and these companies have just gone off wildly with no regulations, and that's really a problem because the pollution. Because it's also invisible. And so there's nothing in place to require that people even find out how much they are leaking and how much they are polluting. Environmental Defense Fund has done a huge amount of work studying this issue and detecting leaks and how do you find leaks. So as with anything, we have to control the pollution that is coming out of natural gas. Fracking has a lot of other problems associated with us. So the faster we move to clean, real clean energy, the better off we are. But we sure don't want to go back to more coal use, because so far coal has not been able to be really to be clean.
Right, right. And some of like the people from our power company are really moving to more, you know, more community solar, more incentives for solar, and also natural gas. It's a part of it, but they're really cutting down on the emissions from coal, and the money that it would take to, you know, to retrofit coal power plants is exorbitant. So it makes sense for them, even economically, to move in a different direction. So I don't want time to...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay. No, I was going to say, you know, for an industry that doesn't like regulations, I'll also point out that they are receiving billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies from the U.S. government every year, and that should end, too. We should be now supporting new industries.
Don't you stop sometimes in the middle of the night and take a breath and say, can this really be happening, or is this a work of fiction? How much money we spend supporting companies that are already, you know, posting record-breaking earnings per share. You know, the oil companies
right.
and the gas companies, it boggles the mind, and it doesn't give us the real cost of what it takes to get those things to us either. So we think it's an affordable alternative, and it really isn't. We're paying for it in another area from tax breaks.
We're paying for it in our health.
Yeah.
We're paying for it in healthcare.
Our healthcare. I mean, and the beat goes on. I will just mm-hmm. be haunted if we get off of this show and we don't talk about every breath we take, because that excites me. It is the only book that you are aware of, that I am aware of, that teaches young children about the air. Tell us about Every Breath We Take, just literally published weeks ago, I believe.
Yes, brand new book, and it was so much fun to do. The idea is a book for 4 to 6 or 7 year olds to talk about this invisible thing all around us, but what is it, and how do you know what air is? And really, obviously, my intention in doing it was to help awaken in children a sense of how precious certain things are, like clean air, of course, clean water is another, and help them understand and love what we need to live on. So in the end, I talk about how clean air is like love. It is invisible, but it makes life better, and that's the that was really the drive for writing the book. It's also very useful for older children as the beginning of lesson plans for teachers to talk about air, and of course we touch on dirty air and how that's not supposed to happen.
And when I read about it, I want to read it. I mean, it's like, and you'll want to read it to your grandchildren. The photographs look delightful and, you know, just make you want to smile. And I'm sure that it is positive and not just informative, but fun. It just looks it. It looks like a book. I need to get this and have it here for my grandchildren and the kids that come here. We need more positive life-affirming messages. And every breath we take looks like a really good, every breath we take. I kept saying it. It's really important.
Well, we can order it. Anyone can order it on Amazon, but if you send me your mailing address, I will send you a copy.
I will be on that.
Thank you
can
for
be sure
me on your stuff.
That I will absolutely be on it. I love it. And I am definitely going to buy the book. You're not the first guest who has referenced dark money, so I need to do that for my homework as well. Let's talk in the few minutes that we have left about, you know, the website. I sincerely mean that. It's really important. It's the way that people connect in this day and age. What are some of the resources that people can find on the websites? Parents and grandparents and teachers. Talk about the things that you offer just free by visiting the website.
So yes, come to momscleanairforce.org, and we offer a range of resources, including a sort of cartoon fact sheet on methane and how methane gets into human bodies and gets into babies' brains. We have fact sheets on mercury. We have fact sheets on methane and why that is so dangerous and what it does. We have a very long question and answer on natural gas in general and the impact on clean air if you want to do a really deep dive. We've got a voter pledge card just to remind yourself to go register to vote and vote. We have a series called Armed with the Facts.
Love that one.
Yeah, well, and it takes pieces of the campaigns that we're working on and describes what you need to know about them. And one of the wonderful things about being part of Environmental Defense Fund is that they have an extraordinary network of scientists and health professionals who make sure that everything we publish is accurate and,
right.
and 100% trustworthy. So, and that's very important. We have a series of ebooks, and we also have a couple of things that are just inspirational. You know, we engage with the faith community, so we have a book about featuring various faith leaders on climate and why they need to tackle it. It's a huge variety. We like to keep our tent as large as possible and engage as many people as possible. And we try to do that through materials that are not only fun and interesting to read, but beautiful to look at, so that you want to share them.
And fun. We have to say fun. And if you're getting, you know, like sometimes I go down the very dark rabbit hole. So when I was doing the research for the show, I looked at the cartoons, and I'm going to tell you what, people, if you're starting to feel really sad like I was, they'll make you laugh. They all have a purpose, but it's humor with a purpose. There's one that I remember where it's really sad and I shouldn't have laughed, but the kids are out and they have a snowman, and the kids are saying to their mom, there's snow, there's no snow, so we made him out of dirt. I mean, we do not want to get to the point where all we know are dirt mans. It's like, this cannot happen.
You know, you do have to laugh. You have to laugh, and you have to always maintain hope, right? There's just no choice.
There has to be a balance, or we're all just going to be undone, and there's no point in that. But there are some, you know, things about Paris will always be there. I hope we can see it or something like that. I hope we can always see it. People, you know, looking from afar. And, you know, one of the things that I loved, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm certainly going to tell Lauren, my social media person, is there's tweetable facts. For someone like me that's part of this shift and a voice for change, that helps us. And that means we're all tweeting the same things and people will pick up on it and retweet it. So there is a section on the website that has tweetable facts from Mom Detective and why we need to plug the leaks. I mean, it's fun and informative, but from where I sit, very helpful. So I appreciate that.
Oh, God, I'm so glad to hear that.
Tweetable facts, like my kids crack up because I'm saying my life now works in hashtags. So everybody, we are coming to an end, and I want to go over again the website. MomsCleanAirForce.org. Twitter is MomsCleanAirForce. MomsCleanAirMoms. Facebook is Moms Clean Air Force. I mean, you've got Instagram, which I also love, Clean Air Moms. Pinterest, really big for women and moms. Clean Air Moms, it's the same thing. You can find it. The easiest way is to go to the website. This is what I did, and I just click through to all of them with the icons. Dominique Browning, thanks for showing up in Mrs. Green's world. And everybody, get engaged. We all need clean air. Make it a great green week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your world.